Part 6. Words in Steel. 56.
If Rashik fails to lead Alendi astray, then I have instructed the lad to kill Alendi.
How can Vin stand this? Ellen wondered. He could barely see 20 feet in the mists. Trees appeared as apparitions around him as he walked, their branches curling around the road. The mist almost seemed to live. It moved, swirled, and blew in the cold night air. It snatched up his puffs of breath, as if drawing a piece of him into it. He shivered and kept walking. The snow had melted patchily over the last few days, leaving heaps in shadowed areas. The canal road, thankfully, was mostly clear. He walked with a pack over his shoulder, carrying only the necessities. At Spook's suggestion, they'd traded their horses at a village several days back. They'd rode the creatures hard the last few days, and it was Spook's estimation that trying to keep them fed and alive for the last leg of their trip to Luthadel wouldn't be worth the effort. Besides, whatever was going to happen at the city had likely already occurred. So Elland walked, alone, in the darkness. Despite the eeriness, he kept his word and traveled only at night. Not only was it Vin's will, but Spook claimed that night was safer. Few travelers braved the mists, therefore most bandits didn't bother watching roadways at night. Spook prowled ahead, his keen senses allowing him to detect danger before Elland blundered into it. How does that work, anyway? Elland wondered as he walked. Tin is supposed to make you see better, but what does it matter how far you can see if the mists just obscure everything? Writers claim that allomancy could help a person pierce the mists somehow. Ellen had always wondered what that was like. Of course, he had also wondered what it was like to feel the strength of pewter, or to fight with Atium. Allomancers were uncommon, even among great houses. Yet, because of the way Straff had treated him, Ellen had always felt guilty that he hadn't been one. But I ended up as king eventually, even without allomancy, he thought, smiling to himself. He'd lost the throne, true, but while they could take his crown, they could not take away his accomplishments. He'd proven that an assembly could work. He'd protected the Ska, given them rights and a taste of freedom they'd never forget. He'd done more than anyone would have expected of him. Something rustled in the mists. Ellen froze, staring out into the darkness. Sounds like leaves, he thought nervously. Something moving across them? Or just the wind blowing them? He decided at that moment that there was nothing more unnerving than staring into the misty darkness, seeing ever-shifting silhouettes. A part of him would rather face down a Kolos army than stand alone at night in an unknown forest.
Elland,
someone whispered. Elland spun. He put a hand to his chest as he saw Spook approaching. He thought about chastising the boy for sneaking up on him, but, well, there wasn't really any other way to approach in the mists.
Did you see something? Spook asked quietly.
Ellen shook his head.
But I thought I heard something.
Spook nodded, then darted off into the mists again. Ellen stood, uncertain whether he should continue on or just wait. He didn't have to debate for very long. Spook returned a few moments later.
Nothing to worry about, Spook said. Just a mist wraith.
What? Ellen asked.
Mist wraith, Spook said. You know, big goopy things, related to Chondra. Don't tell me you haven't read about them.
I have, Ellen said, nervously scanning the darkness.
But I never thought I'd be out in the mists with one.
Spook shrugged.
It's probably just following our scent, hoping that we'll leave some trash for it to eat. The things are harmless, mostly.
Mostly? Ellen asked.
You probably know more about them than I do. Look, I didn't come back here to chat about scavengers. There's light up ahead.
A village? Ellen asked, thinking back to when they'd come this way before. Spook shook his head.
Looks like watchfires.
An army?
Maybe. I'm just thinking you should wait behind for a bit. It could be awkward if you wander into a scout post.
Agreed, Ellen said. Spook nodded, then took off into the mists. And Ellen was alone in the darkness again.
He shivered, pulling his cloak close, and eyed the mists in the direction from which he'd heard the mist wraith. Yes, he'd read about them. He knew they were supposed to be harmless. But the thought of something crawling out there, its skeleton made from random sets of bones, watching him... Don't focus on that, Ellen told himself. He turned his attention instead to the mists. Vin was right about one thing, at least. They were lingering longer and longer despite the sunrise. Some mornings they remained a full hour after the sun came up. He could easily imagine the disaster that would befall the land should the mists persist all day. Crops would fail, animals would starve, and civilization would collapse. Could the deepness really be something so simple? Ellen's own impressions of the deepness were seated in scholarly tradition. Some writers dismiss the entire thing as a legend, a rumor used by the obligators to enhance their god's aura of divinity. The majority accepted the historical definition of the deepness, a dark monster that had been slain by the Lord Ruler. And yet thinking of it as the mist made some sense. How could a single beast, no matter how dangerous, threaten an entire land? The mists, though, they could be destructive. Kill plants. Perhaps even kill people, as Sazed had suggested? He eyed it, shifting around him, playful, deceptive. Yes, he could see it as the deepness. Its reputation, more frightening than a monster, more dangerous than an army, was one it would deserve. In fact, watching it as he was, he could see it trying to play tricks on his mind. For instance, the mist bank directly in front of him seemed to be forming shapes. Ellen smiled as his mind picked out images in the mists. One almost looked like a person standing there in front of him. The person stepped forward. Ellen jumped, taking a slight step backward, his foot crunching on a bit of ice-crusted snow. "Don't be silly," he told himself. Your mind is playing tricks on you. There's nothing... The shape in the mists took another step forward. It was indistinct, almost formless, and yet it seemed real. Random movements in the mists outlined its face, its body, its legs. Lord Ruler! Ellen yelped, jumping back. The thing continued to regard him. I'm going mad, he thought, hands beginning to shake. The mist figure stopped a few feet in front of him, and then raised its right arm and pointed. North. Away from Luthadel. Ellen frowned, glancing in the direction the figure pointed. There was nothing but more empty mists. He turned back toward it, but it stood quietly, arm upraised. Vin spoke of this thing, he remembered, forcing down his fear. She tried to tell me about it. And I thought she was making things up. She was right. Just as she'd been right about the mists staying longer in the day and the possibility of the mists being the deepness. He was beginning to wonder which of them was the scholar. The mist creature continued to point. What? Ellen asked, his own voice sounding haunting in the silent air. It stepped forward, arm still raised. Ellen put a useless hand to his sword, but held his ground. "Tell me what you wish of me," he said forcefully. The thing pointed again. Ellen cocked his head. It certainly didn't seem threatening. In fact, he felt an unnatural feeling of peace coming from it. "Allomancy," he thought. "It's pulling on my emotions." "Ellen," Spook's voice drifted out of the mists. The figure suddenly dissolved, its form melting into the mists. Spook approached, his face dark and shadowed in the night. Ellen? What were you saying? Ellen took his hand off his sword, standing upright. He eyed the mists, still not completely convinced that he wasn't seeing things. Nothing, he said. Spook glanced back the way he had come.
You should come look at this.
The army? Ellen asked, frowning. Spook shook his head.
No. The refugees.
The keepers are dead, my lord, the old man said, sitting across from Ellen.
He didn't have a tent, only a blanket stretched between several poles.
Either dead or captured.
Another man brought Ellen a cup of warm tea, his demeanor servile.
Both wore the robes of stewards, and while their eyes bespoke exhaustion, their robes and hands were clean. Old habits, Elend thought, nodding thankfully and taking a sip of the tea. Terrace's people might have declared themselves independent, but 1,000 years of servitude cannot be so easily thrown off. The camp was an odd place. Spook said he counted nearly 1,000 people in it, a nightmare of a number to care for, feed, and organize in the cold winter. Many were elderly, and the men were mostly stewards. Eunuchs, bred for genteel service with no experience in hunting. "Tell me what happened," Elend said. The elderly steward nodded, his head shaking. He didn't seem particularly frail. Actually, he had that same air of controlled dignity that most stewards exhibited. But his body had a slow, chronic tremble.
"The Synod came out into the open, my lord, once the Empire fell."
He accepted a cup of his own, but Elend noticed that it was only half full, a precaution that proved wise as the elderly steward's shaking nearly spilled its contents.
"They became our rulers. Perhaps it was not wise to reveal themselves so soon."
Not all Terrasmen were ferrochemists. In fact, very few were. The Keepers, people like Sazed and Tyndall, had been forced into hiding long ago by the Lord Ruler. His paranoia that ferrochemical and allomantic lines might mix, thereby potentially producing a person with his same powers, had led him to try and destroy all ferrochemists.
"I've known Keepers, friend," Elend said softly. "I find it hard to believe that they could have been easily defeated. Who did this?" "Steel Inquisitors, my lord," the old man said.
Elend shivered.
"So that's where they've been." "There were dozens of them, my lord," the old man said. "They attacked Tathingdwin with an army of Kolos brutes. But that was just a distraction, I think. Their real goal was the Synod and the Keepers themselves. While our army, such as it was, fought the beasts, the Inquisitors themselves struck at the Keepers."
Lord Ruler, Elend thought, stomach twisting. "So what do we do with the book Sazed told us to deliver to the Synod? Do we pass it on to these men or keep it?"
"They took the bodies with them, my lord," the old man said. "Terrace is in ruins, and that is why we are going south. You said you know King Venture?"
"I have met him," Elend said. "He ruled Luthadel, where I am from."
"Will he take us in, do you think?" the old man asked. "We have little hope any more. Tathingdwin was the Terrace capital, but even it wasn't large. We are few these days. The Lord Ruler saw to that."
"I do not know if Luthadel can help you, friend."
"We can serve well," the old man promised. "We were prideful to declare ourselves free, I think. We struggled to survive even before the Inquisitors attacked. Perhaps they did us a favor by casting us out."
Elend shook his head. "Kolos attacked Luthadel just over a week ago," he said quietly. "I am a refugee myself, Master Steward. For all I know, the city itself has fallen." The old man fell silent.
"Ah, I see," he finally said.
"I'm sorry," Elend said. "I was traveling back to see what happened. Tell me, I traveled this way not long ago. How was it that I missed you in my journey north?"
"We didn't come by a canal route, my lord," the old man said. "We cut across country, straight down, so that we could gather supplies at Suringsheth. You have no further word of events at Luthadel, then?" "There was a senior keeper in residence there. We were hoping, perhaps, to seek her counsel."
"Lady Tyndall?" Elend asked. The old man perked up.
"Yes. You know her?"
She was an attendant at the king's court, Ellen said.
Keeper Tyndwell could be considered our leader now, I think, the old man said. We aren't certain how many traveling keepers there are, but she is the only known member of the Synod who was out of the city when we were attacked.
She was still in Luthadel when I left, Ellen said.
Then she might live still, the old man said. We can hope, I think. I thank you, traveler, for your information. Please make yourself comfortable in our camp.
Ellen nodded, rising. Spook stood a short distance away in the mists near a pair of trees. Ellen joined him. The people kept large fires burning in the night, as if to defy the mists. The light did some good in dispelling the mists' power, and yet the light seemed to accentuate them as well, creating three-dimensional shadows that bewildered the eye. Spook leaned against the scraggly tree trunk, looking around at things Ellen couldn't see. Ellen could hear, however, some of what Spook must be inspecting. Crying children, coughing men, shuffling livestock.
It doesn't look good, does it? Ellen said quietly.
Spook shook his head.
I wish they'd take down all these fires, he muttered. The light hurts my eyes.
Ellen glanced to the side.
They aren't that bright.
Spook shrugged.
They're just wasting wood.
Forgive them their comfort for now. They'll have little enough of it in the weeks to come. Ellen paused, looking over at a passing squad of terrace soldiers, a group of men who were obviously stewards. Their posture was excellent, and they walked with a smooth grace, but Ellen doubted they knew how to use any weapons beyond a cooking knife.
No, there is no army in Terrace to help my people.
You sent Vin back to gather our allies, Spook said quietly,
to bring them up to meet with us, perhaps to seek refuge in Terrace.
I know, Ellen said.
We can't gather in Terrace, though, Spook said. Not with the Inquisitors up there.
I know, Ellen said again. Spook was silent for a moment.
The whole world is falling apart, El, he finally said.
Terrace, Luthadel.
Luthadel has not been destroyed, Ellen said, looking sharply at Spook.
The Koloss,
Vin will have found a way to stop them, Ellen said. For all we know, she already found the power at the Well of Ascension. We need to keep going. We can and will rebuild whatever was lost. Then we'll worry about helping Terrace.
Spook paused, then nodded and smiled. Ellen was surprised to see how much his confident words seemed to soothe the boy's concerns. Spook leaned back, eyeing Ellen's still-steaming cup of tea, and Ellen handed it over with a mumble that he didn't like heartroot tea. Spook drank happily. Ellen, however, found matters more troubling than he'd admitted.
The deepness returning, ghosts in the mist, and Inquisitors making a play for the Terrace dominance. What else have I been ignoring?